Well, hey everybody, it's Donna Parto welcoming you to week five of the 90-day renewal for spring of 2015. So glad that you could join us this evening. I've had quite the day. I had a day with my two daughters. We've been working hard. My younger daughter just finished her ballet recital that she's worked all year for, and just so proud of her. She's only been doing ballet really for about a year and a half. Well, 2 years, but she had 6 months that she served at the House of Prayer. So really, she's only been seriously pursuing ballet for a year and a half. And the rest of the girls who are at the, what they call the company level, have been doing it all their lives. And I've never been more proud of her. She really held her own, and her work ethic is just crazy. I mean, she's just such a hard worker, and I'm really proud of her. And then Saturday, she's got her recital for the kids that she teaches. So we did a reward day. We went out for mother-daughter day, and we did a massage. And then we went to the beach, and her sister came. And it was just really kind of a fun day. But excited to be here with you tonight. And welcome everyone to the call. Looks like we've got a good group of ladies here. I'm going to go ahead and open with prayer, and we'll be underway. So God, we need you. We need you. You are the one who changes people. You are the only one who can change me, the only one who can change the women who've joined this class. That's not something I can do. It's something I can pray for. It's something that I can teach toward and work toward. But the reality is that only the Holy Spirit can do the kind of deep healing that's required. Because now we're getting honest here. No one is overweight because there are calories in food. There's just a whole lot of other things going on for a lot of us. Some deep stuff. And tonight we're going to try to get to the roots and see if we can make some sense of some things. So I need your help, God. I really need the Holy Spirit to come and fill me with wisdom and revelation that's going to help some people. God, I'm already seeing you move in such a powerful way. It's a very different kind of renewal this time, and it's interesting to watch. This is the moment. You said that you are going to begin raising up your women, raising up your army. And I want to just get out of the way as much as I can and let you do what you want to do. So we love you, Lord. We love you. And we're just honored to have this time here tonight. Well, this week's theme was an exchange taking place. And it grew out of a word that we received last year from Dolores Wilson of Australia, who just really very accurate in the prophetic. We really appreciate her. And be sure to listen to it. I don't want to reteach those audios, but be sure to listen to those when they're posted each week. But the message is that there is always an exchange taking place. Every moment of every day of your life, you are making an exchange. There is an exchange taking place. Every moment that you're doing one thing, that's a moment you're not doing another. Unless you're trying to multitask, which never works. There's always an exchange. There's always a trade-off. And we just need to be honest about that. Every choice that we make is a seed sown. Every choice is a consequence, has a consequence, whether it's positive or negative. If we want different outcomes, then we have to make different choices. But there's just always an exchange taking place. This is really, you know, I think another great teaching. I talk about food throughout the Bible, how it was just shown over and over again that food was a stumbling block to people. And I walk you through so many biblical examples, and then I show you examples of people who said no to their impulses and chose to fast to God, and how God elevated them. And talked about the benefits of fasting, and how Christians have been fasting throughout all of the Bible and all of church history. I covered the topic of intermittent fasting and some of those other things. I talk about why we stop eating at 7 o'clock and why we turn off the electronics at 9 o'clock. So I think you'll really enjoy it. I am going to go ahead and read the prophetic word from Dolores Wilson. It is in the recording. It is in your transcript, but it's just so beautiful and so accurate and so powerful. I think it's worth doing again as we kick off the call tonight. There's been an exchange taking place, an exchange of my word for that of the medium, an exchange of my presence for that of technology, an exchange of my voice for that which tickles the ears and makes you feel good, an overloading of the airways. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The enemy is infiltrating by stealth and deception into your lives, while there is an incessant noise which would drown out my voice. The enemy is after your seed, your children. Pray for your country, your government, that they will not be taken unawares. Pray for your children. Cry out for the land, that there would be an awakening of the people, that people would have ears to hear my voice, that they will have eyes to see what is happening in their midst, that there will be a knowing of the fear of the Lord again. Cry out for your loved ones. Stand in the gap. Make mention of them in my ears. Pray without ceasing. Let your voice be heard on high. For surely there is a time when I am coming with the holy fire to burn up that which will not stand. I'm coming with the refiner's fire. Therefore, be holy as I am holy. And I really dive more into that and ask it, what are you exchanging? Right now, there is healing. There is power. There is transformation, and it's available to you right now. And what is it that you're exchanging for that, for what God would give you? Because there's always an exchange taking place. Anyway, I just thought that was really a powerful word, and I hope that you'll listen to that whole teaching. By now, you should be getting into a rhythm. We're in week 5. Monday, that's your fasting day. Are you getting into that rhythm of taking one day a week to fast? Testimony Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. We really love to hear your testimonies. I should have read some. We're getting beautiful testimonies this semester. And we want to hear yours. How do we overcome? The Bible tells us we overcome. How? Part of it is the word of our testimony. Yeah. Wednesday is our weigh-in. Weighing yourself once a week, not every 5 minutes. This week's winner, Bets Russell. And she lost a bunch of weight, some crazy amount. Was it like 6-7 pounds? It was a lot. She did great. We had a lot of people who did really well this week. And she's going to receive the book of her choice. I haven't heard from her yet. I just Facebooked her which book she would like to receive. And that's going to be sent out to her. You know what's really cool? Oh, starting this week, you'll be able to choose my brand new book, The Special Blessings Prayer. If you win, that's one of the books you can choose. I hope a lot of you will choose that one. Wednesday is also a good day to ask why. Why? Why are you doing this? Why is it important for you to get healthy in spirit, soul, and body? What's your big motivation? And some of that should be like deep, profound, spiritual, soul, but for me personally, I find it really effective to have like a tangible reward that I'm working towards. Now, right now, I think I told you, when I get down to 19% body fat, which is going to be, it'll probably take me, I don't know, 6 months to a year to do that, because it's not easy. I'm going to reward myself, and I'm going to Greece. It's at the top of my bucket list. I've always wanted to go to Greece, and when I get down to that goal, I'm going to Greece. And that reward really is motivating me. Now, I'm not saying you have to, some of you are like, oh my God, I can't go to Greece. It doesn't matter. Maybe you want to get a massage. Maybe you want to get a manicure and a pedicure or a facial. Just pick a reward and work toward it. Say, hey, when I lose 5 pounds, I'm going to get a pedicure. When I lose 100 pounds, yeah, I think you need a bigger reward for that. Yeah, the reward should match the achievement. But I find it powerful. Now, I was thinking of this the other day. If I ask a person, hey, what are your top 3 goals that you're working towards right now? What are the top three goals that you are working toward right now? If that person doesn't have an answer, that tells me a lot about them. And really would answer pretty much every question they have about their life. If you don't know what your top three goals for the month of June are, you've got a problem. God made humans to always be either climbing or slipping. You know, we do just human beings tend not to stand still. We're either gaining ground or losing ground. Just, I don't know why it is, but it is. You should know, hey, June, what are your goals? Obviously, you have weight loss goals. Maybe you have some decluttering goals. How will you reward yourself when you achieve them? If you don't have a compelling answer to that question, look no further for your answer about why you gain 2 pounds, lose 3 pounds, gain 5, lose 2, and you're in that pattern, even though you're in the class. I'm telling you, you need a big, compelling why. We talked about this again. Some of you should go back and watch the original webinar again. There's just so much good stuff in there. Really packs a punch. What's your big, compelling why? The why that makes you cry, and then break that down into some milestones and things that you're working towards. Really think that this is for someone right now. You need a goal. You need some things you're really working towards and a reward that inspires you. Doesn't matter what inspires me or someone else. What inspires you? Could be a week with your grandkids. It doesn't matter. But it's got to be something, you know, little dreams never got anybody out of bed in the morning. I set big goals for the month of June. Big goals. And I'm like, my eyes open. I'm like, I got to get out of bed. I got to get my act. I got to get going. I've got big goals for the month of June. I've got big goals for this week. I'm just believing that I'm hoping by tomorrow, and if not by Monday for sure, I'm going to launch my brand new book, The Special Blessings Prayer. Yay! Will you guys see it? It's so exciting. But that gets me out of bed in the morning and focused. I don't need to self-medicate. We talked about this last week. Why would I need to comfort, cope, and escape when I've got some grand vision before me and I'm going after it? Anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent. I'm reviewing the weekly plan. Then we've got Thankful Thursday. Gratitude, such a powerful weapon. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We are invited to approach the throne of grace with confidence. The invitation is there. But how can we approach the throne if we're outside the gate? Again, that's a choice. We have the key. We have the admission ticket. Thanksgiving. Don't underestimate it. The Bible tells us we can approach the throne of grace with confidence to obtain grace and mercy in our time of need. But not if we can't get in the gate. That's why gratitude. Huge. Huge, 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 huge. Gratitude. Just develop the attitude of gratitude. It's a habit. It's a mindset. Fling It Friday. Next week, we're going to do clutter. Somebody remind me I said that. Next week, we're going to do clutter. Decluttering. Fling It Friday. Just set the clock for 15 minutes. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. And just declutter. I've got to do it. Oh, we've been so crazy this week with the ballet show and all the stuff going on and the special blessings. I've got to do some major tomorrow. I got to really get in fling it mode and declutter myself, just being honest. Shake It Saturday. You know, just get into the habit at least once a week of replacing a couple meals with a shake. Sabbath Sunday, day to reflect. What were your victories? And what specific goals are you working on for the coming week? What new thing did God show you about yourself, about Him, about life? If you haven't seen my weekly evaluation worksheet, I think it's in that book. If not, I'm sure Rennie, would you remind me to post up that weekly evaluation worksheet? It's wonderful. I've used it probably for, oh my heavens, More than 30 years. More than 30 years. I've had that little weekly evaluation worksheet. Just me and God sit down and say, okay, how did last week go? What were the victories? What were the lessons learned? Okay, next week, what are we doing? I'm telling you guys, need to live this way. I want to talk about self-sabotage because it's coming up a lot. Listen to this definition of sabotage. Any underhand interference with production, work, etc. As by enemy agents during wartime. Come on. An underhand interference with production or work as by enemy agents during wartime. Come on. Sabotage is the work of the enemy. When we self-sabotage, we're siding with the enemy. I saw this quote on the internet. I thought it was good. Self-sabotage is when we say we want something and then go about making sure it doesn't happen. God, this is really powerful. And we're really going to pray into this because it's spiritual. This is spiritual. I'm going to share some practical stuff, but I want to pray because this is really spiritual. It's a work of the enemy. He is the saboteur. He's the one behind it. So let's do the practical. I came up with 7 strategies for defeating sabotage. So 7 strategies to defeat self-sabotage. 1 is focus on what you're doing right. So it's very common when someone is dieting, quote unquote, to focus on all the negatives. You beat yourself up. You know, you splurged last night. You had dessert. You ignore the fact that you had, you know, a great week coming up to that, or that you all your other meals, you were fabulous. You get focused on the fact that the scale didn't move this week. You forget about the fact that you lost 5 pounds last month. You focus on what's not working rather than celebrating your effort. And some people just tend to be more pessimistic. But optimism can be learned. There's actually a book called Learned Optimism. You can choose. And that's what part of what Thankful Thursday and Testimony Tuesday are about, to kind of change your mindset. Get you focusing. You focus on the negative, you're going to be frustrated. And the frustration will just build and build and build. And you're finally like, you know what? Forget about it. You've got to look at this as a long-term process. Okay, what am I doing right? Yay me. These were my victories today. Tomorrow I'm going to have more victories. You start building up victory, 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 victory. You're going to win the war. You're going to win the war. Focus on the victories. Focus on what you're doing right. 2 is develop your willpower muscle. Practice saying no. Now, you don't want to wipe yourself out, wear yourself out. But practice saying no. Getting a little bit stronger. And this is key. Keep your eyes on what is 100% within your control. Listen to me. The scale is not 100% within your control. The foods that other people serve when you're at their house or at church or wherever, that's not within your control. What's on the menu at a restaurant, that's not within your control. How other people treat you, that's not within your control. Your behavior, your choices, that is what you can control. So 2 is to develop that power muscle. Practice saying no. Just a little bit. Don't say no to everything. I'm getting there. That's 4, actually. In fact, I'll switch it. I'm going to make that 3. 3 is ditch the all or nothing mentality. Ditch the all or nothing mentality. Okay. So like I can never have a brownie again as long as I live, and I hate myself if I ever have one. No, you're developing that little willpower muscle, and you know, I'm going to say no on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday I'm going to have my free day and I'm going to enjoy little desserts. And I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to do the best I can. Ditch the all or nothing mentality. Research has shown that when people are on a strict diet, they're more inclined to overeat if they fear they if they feel like they went veered off the diet even slightly, then they're like, oh, the world, it's over. Yeah, people who are not on diets don't do it as much. So don't look at this as a diet. Look at it as a life. This is the new you. This is the new you who makes better choices, who practices making better choices on a daily basis. That's you. That's you getting stronger and stronger, developing your willpower muscle. But that all or nothing mentality, that's just the killer. So you gotta ditch that. That's a huge source of sabotage. And that's the enemy in your ear. Oh, well, you ate one potato chip. You're a horrible person. You're a complete loser. You're a total failure. You're never going to change. You may as well just eat that whole bag and ask Donna for a refund. Number four, believe you deserve to be healthy. Believe you deserve to be beautiful. God wants you. The Bible says, beloved, I desire above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be beautiful. You are worthy. You deserve to be healthy and beautiful. You are precious and honored in God's sight. He loves you. He wants good things for you. You are worth giving a bath to. You are worth, and you deserve to have a little candle and some lavender oil and Epsom salt and a bath and a break with some worship music. It's not selfish to practice self-care. Taking reasonable care of yourself is the opposite of selfish. It's completely the opposite of selfish, and that's number five. Consider how neglecting yourself ruins things for other people. There's a whole teaching on that one of these weeks. How your really abuse of yourself, hating yourself, neglecting yourself, it just affects a lot of people. So number four, you deserve to be healthy. But then number five, the people who love you deserve that too. Consider how your failure to practice self-care is actually selfish. I know, that sounds backwards, right? It's actually selfish of you not to take care of yourself. Because if you're not healthy, and when I say healthy, I mean healthy in every way, emotionally healthy. If you're not in a good place, how can you take care of anybody else? I mean, so many women are like, oh, well, you know, I've got to take care of my father. I've got to take care of my grandfather. I've got to take care of my mother. And I've got to take care of my child. And I've got to take care of my grandkids. And they say that like it's a trade-off. Now, I can't take care of myself because I've got to take care of my aging father. Really, I think you've got that a little bit backwards. You have to take care of yourself because these other people need you. And they need you at your best. Whoever it is that you feel like you're responsible for and have to take care of, they need you healthy in spirit, soul, and body. Otherwise, what could you possibly give to them? This is one of the, I'm telling you, for a lot of you, this is the big lie. I hear this all the time. Well, I have to take care of so-and-so, so I can't take care of me. Backwards. Backwards. I have to take care of my grumpy dad. I better take extra good care of myself because otherwise I'm not going to be equal to this task. I'm just not going to be able to show up the way he needs me to be. I've got my family going through such a crisis right now. My family is in crisis. So I guess I just can't take care of myself. Wrong. Opposite. opposite. Because your family is in crisis. Because your family is in chaos, that's why you must take care of yourself. That's why they need you to take care of yourself. To take your walk, to have your time with God, to eat healthy. So when you show up, you are on top of your game and you are at your very best. All this is so... I'm seeing someone. I'm telling you right now, I'm seeing a couple people that this is for. I have a feeling you know who you are. Big, 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 big. That was, wow. That, whew, huge. Wait, I need to back up. Hang on, let me reread this. What is sabotage? It's any underhand interference as by enemy agents during wartime. If you are at war for the destiny of your family and you're acting surprised that the enemy is trying to sabotage your efforts to get healthy in spirit, soul, and body so that you can become a role model, so that you can become just another renewal rock star. Hello? Yeah. I'm telling you, somebody right now just got a huge revelation at how the enemy has, in this underhanded strategy, he's been telling you for decades, well, you got to take care of this person. You got to take care of that person. You got to take care of the other person. All because he's afraid of you the way you were created to be. He is afraid of you, the woman that you want to be, the woman God has for you. He's afraid of it. That's why he's got this little strategy. Yep. Number six. Coming back to the theme of the exchange taking place. You need to exchange faith for control. Now, I love you guys, but some of you, this can sound a little crazy because you feel like you're out of control and you're actually a control freak. Your eating may be out of control, but even that is kind of a weird form of control. Let me explain it because I'm neurotic enough to understand this. Here's how I play this neurotic game, okay? And see if you can get what I'm communicating here. My game was, I know that you're going to reject me. You're going to reject me. And I just can't live in a world that's so out of control like that, where people reject me for no reason. That's crazy making. So tell you what I'm going to do. I will give you a reason to reject me. I will manufacture a reason for you to reject me so that when you reject me, I'm still in control. It was my behavior. I did it. I made you reject me. And then the world still makes sense. Well, of course she rejected me. I flipped out and screamed at her and threw stuff at her, and then she rejected me. So I'm still in control of the world. Does it make sense? Stay with me. You've set a goal, you want to lose 25, 50, 100, 200 pounds, whatever it is. And the scale is not cooperating. You start to feel like this is just, you know, this is out of my control. There's nothing I can do, no matter how hard I try, nothing works. You know what? I'm taking the reins back. I'm in control. Hand me the donuts. Hand me my smartphone and a bag of chips and a remote, and I'm just going to take the reins back. And I'm just going to sabotage this whole thing so that my world still makes sense. Because this scale not moving, that doesn't make any sense to me. That just, it's unfair. And I can't live in a world that's unfair. I can't live in a world where I tried the very best I could for 1 week, and that scale did not budge. That is chaos. That is madness. That's crazy making. I'm not doing it. I'm taking back the reins. Here, hand me the potato chips. Now I'm in control. You want to know why I'm not losing weight? I'm not losing weight because I'm overeating and going crazy. Now see, now the world makes sense. I'm back in control. You know what's scary? There are women listening to the sound of my voice who know exactly what I'm talking about. I see you. I totally see this, some of you. Yep. In some strange way, we're little control freaks. We just can't have faith to let God, to trust God that if we do our very best, that we will yield a harvest. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, because you will yield a harvest if you don't give up. That's faith. That's faith. We need to exchange our desire for control and for everything to make sense and for everything to be fair. You know, it's just not, you know, this is fair. I did this renewal for 3 weeks. Not losing weight. That's it. And I'm going to do this my way. Forget it. I'm done. I quit. Could we walk in faith and say, Lord, I'm just going to be diligent. I don't know when that harvest is going to show up, but I believe by faith. I believe by faith. I'm not going to believe the scale. I'm not going to believe the measuring tape. I'm not going to believe the way my clothes fit. God, I am going to believe you. And I'm going to just throw myself completely into your hands, completely into your mercy. And I'm going to follow you day by day, and I'm going to do the very best I can, and I refuse to get fixated on the outcome. I refuse to freak out over a number on a little scale. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to live by faith. Exchange faith for control. Exchange faith for the need for all of this to make sense and be fair. It feels unfair, doesn't it? I mean, I see other people eating whatever they want. So fair doesn't make sense. Forget it. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm going to McDonald's. I'm getting McFlurry. I'm not doing this. I can't live in a world that doesn't make sense. I can't live in a world that's not fair. So now it makes sense. I went to McDonald's. I got my McFlurry. I'm sure that scale is going to go up. Okay. That's better than the scale refusing to budge when I'm, you know, knocking myself out, and I just can't make sense of it. It's control. It's the opposite of faith. Faith. We want to be in control. As crazy as it sounds, we want to be in control of our inevitable failure. Huge. We know we're going to fail. We know we're going to fail. We just want to be steering that ship. When it hits the rocks and not be at the mercy of somebody else. You don't believe that you're going to succeed at this. Deep inside, you believe you're doomed to fail. A failure's path. I know they're going to reject me. The question is the day and the hour. I don't know what day or what hour, but they're going to reject me. So I'm just going to take the wheel and I'll make the date today. Deep inside, you don't believe you're going to succeed. You don't believe in yourself. But God believes in you. That's why he brought you here. He brought you here because he believes in you. And this is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to say, Charisse, that I'm talking to you right now. This is for you. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your night. This is it. God sees you. God sees you, and this is your moment. This is Your whole life is ahead of you. You are not doomed to live this way. This is not your destiny or your doom. This is just the first chapter of the book. This is just the chapter that makes everybody pick up the book and hear the story that God is going to write. Don't let one chapter become the whole book. It's just a chapter. It's just one chapter in your life. And God has so many more chapters to write, if you'll let Him. Failure is not inevitable. Quite the contrary. Your victory is assured. It's already won. Wave the hanky. Wave the hanky. I remember the funniest thing, man. I was in Bolivia. It's Food for the Hungry. And there are just so many things that the believers needed there. And just so many resources for the work and the ministry. And I don't remember all the specifics, but I just know that they were looking at, you know, the financing and this. It just seemed impossible. And I told them, you know, there's this song they sing sometimes in the South. I don't know if you've any, I can't sing, but it's like, it's already done, done. And it's already done, done. And they waved the hanky in the church. I was at this church in Mississippi, and they sang It's Already Done, Done for about 3 solid hours. That was it. Just already done, done. And then they'd make up other stuff, you know, kind of improv. It's already done, done. Wave the hanky. And I was sitting at this little tiny airport in Sucre, Bolivia. And I took a napkin off the table and I started waving it. And I'm like, everything you're asking, because of course I'm getting ready to leave their country, right? So they want that last prophetic word, or, you know, is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, look, people, it's already done. And I'm waving the hanky in the restaurant. It's already done. It's already done. It's one of those little airports that you walk out on the tarmac. And I walk out on the tarmac and I hear all this shouting and I turn around. This would never happen in America, right? I turn around and there's this whole group of believers up on the roof of the airport waving napkins. It's already done. It's already done. Can you have faith for that? Exchange faith for whatever it is you're holding on to. Can you wave? Somebody's got to wave a hanky. Someone's going to grab a white sock. Just get something and wave it over your head right now. Come on. Find something and wave it over your head. It's already done. It's already done. Stop believing the scale. Stop believing the measuring tape. Stop believing it. Believe God. God says, you know, it's already done. It's already done, done. It's already done, done. Number 7, look to the roots. Number 7, look to the roots. We'll camp out here for a minute. Then I'm believe in God. Maybe we've got some, God has something to say for some others. There's a few others I wanted to pray for. And then I will do *6 if anybody has any questions or comments. You know, that's why we're here. Support you live, right? Roots always yield fruits. Roots always yield fruits. So we can look at the fruits and draw some conclusions about the roots. But what are the roots growing in? They're growing in soil and water. So we need to pay attention. We need to notice. It's a great word, notice. Okay. So start by noticing and looking at the fruits, but then examine the roots. A bitter root defiles many, and it does a lot of damage to a lot of people. Notice the soil that root is thriving in, and the source of the water that it's feeding. Really, really just pray into that. God, you know, we can't do psychoanalysis here. I mean, but the Holy Spirit, you know, we don't need it. The Holy Spirit has these answers. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Lord, I see these fruits in my life. And I see this fruit of self-sabotage. I see this fruit of self-sabotage. Of getting in my own way, being my own worst enemy. I see that fruit in my life. Yo-yo dieting, whatever it is. God, what is the root? And not just what is the root, what is the soil, and what is the water? What's the whole ecosystem? Ask God to show you. Because until you deal with the soil and the water that you're drawing from, the root systems are going to continue to be polluted. I mean, God's word can't return void, but some reap tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold. And the difference is the soil. I mean, so we've got good seed right here in the 90-day renewal. All of this material that we're providing to you, it's all good seed. But how's the soil? And what is the water that you're drawing from? And I really just ask God to give you some revelation about that. Zechariah 8:12. Here's a promise, okay, for everybody here. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops. And the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. That's what God says. Till the soil, till the soil, till the soil. There is a hope and there is a future for you. God wants to lead you beside the still waters, the living water of the Holy Spirit. A well-watered garden. That's what we've created here at the 90-Day Renewal. A well-watered garden for your soul. A well-watered garden for your soul. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the steps with the wicked. Walk in step with the wicked. Or stand in the way that sinners take. Or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight... See here, do you see the exchange? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And who meditates on his law day and night. That person who chooses that exchange, right? Not walking with the wicked, not going the way of sinners, not sitting with mockers, not playing words with friends all day and watching stupid stuff. Time in God's word. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. You will be blessed. You will succeed. You will get the victory. It's already done. All you have to do is choose every day to make the right exchange. That's it. Just every day. Exchange, you know, just every positive exchange you make, just give yourself a pat on the back. I just exchanged my donut for a salad. Yay me, I'm a rock star. I just exchanged watching my favorite TV show for reading God's word. Yay me. Go me. Victory to victory. Strength to strength. Glory to glory. I just exchanged a walk around the block for sitting and staring in space. Yay me. I put up, I'll post these again. I think we posted them earlier, but Samantha Vassbinder has created just this beautiful, amazing, like, oh my heavens, it's incredible. We're hoping to get it into a poster. It just never seems to get to the front burner, but she has two sides of a tree. There's death and then there's life, and it looks at the fruit. So let's do the negative and then we'll do the positive and then we'll wrap it here. Death and captivity. What are some of the fruits we see? Stagnation, anger, discouragement, addiction, out of control, depression, bitterness, sickness, hate, pride, anxiety, selfishness, exhaustion, chaos, failure, unbelief, hurt, darkness, loneliness, negativity, guilt, fear, distrust, cursing. Who is in the trunk? Satan. She's got the serpent. It's an amazing picture. She's got the serpent, and Satan is the trunk. And the root is entitlement. I'm telling you, this is so destructive in our culture. It kills people. Entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality, so destructive. Poor soil. It's bad habits, self-sabotage, depression, self-hatred. Faulty assumptions, suppressed emotions. She gives all these negative things. I also created my own version, and in my version of this, I just put... hang on a second. I can't read my own writing. Oh, I only have my happy one. I didn't put my grumpy one on. That's why I'm not seeing it. And then she contrasts it with Jesus as the trunk, you know? And some of the fruits are hope and peace, order, kindness, strength, humility, self-control, life, and freedom, creativity, gentleness, joy, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, productivity. And then she's got the dove of peace, healing, energy, blessing, faith, light. healthy roots and good soil, rooted in truths like God loves me unconditionally. God has plans for my life. God is able. He restores my soul. It's beautiful. And then she's got the green pastures and the still waters and contrasting the other with the weeds and the thorny ground. Just beautiful, powerful. I put that the living water, the really fruitful, good soil and living water is just resting in the awareness that God loves you and God is for you. Very powerful. But I think it might be really a great exercise this week for those of you, and you know, I'm not a great artist and I did it. You know, we don't all have to be as great as Samantha, but you do this, you know, draw a picture of what are the fruits you're seeing in your life? What might be the roots? And just ask the Holy Spirit to give you some revelation about that. Well, I hope that this was really helpful. Let me jump over. And everybody liked the notes last week, so I'll see if I can put some notes together for you. That seemed to be a really popular addition. Like how I create more work for myself. Hang on. Here we go. All right, I'm going to pray, and then maybe God has something for some of us. And then Star Six of Father, I just really feel that you're speaking to your daughters tonight. With some practical and spiritual strategies for defeating this lifelong pattern that many have of self-sabotage. And I pray that the word would go deep, that this seed that I planted tonight would go deep into good soil and take root and really, really, really yield fruit. Really yield fruit. We have someone who needs peace about a job loss. Daughter, how many times do I need to tell you that I am your employer? You have a job. Your job is to be my servant. I have told you this many times. You continue to look for jobs because you cannot believe that the calling is real. You are exchanging job for calling. Daughter, you have calling. I have set you apart. Why do you look for a job as your provision when I am Jehovah Jireh? And I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Daughter, I place you in a pulpit. I place you in a position of authority. With my word in your hand and my fire on your spirit. I am your provider. You have a calling. To me, it feels, I see classroom as well as pulpit. Teaching young people. Teaching young people. Father, I pray for every person who is afraid to believe that there really is a calling on their life. That when you call them, they say, "Well, he can't mean me. He can't mean me." Yeah, he means you. There's a calling on your life. And so many of us, not just this gal I prayed for, we settle for a job. We settle for what seems safe. We settle for what we know because we don't we don't want to dare. Go after the calling, the high call of God. I mean, I'm telling you, we need some holy boldness in this class. We need some people who really need to start stepping up. Really need to start stepping up. And I'm going to call out Linda. Linda, remind me to acknowledge you as the editor on Special Blessings and to incorporate a hyperlink so that people who are looking to self-publish on Kindle, especially Christians, will see you as an editor, and I'll add in a little sentence there for you that you are my recommended editor because you are an outstanding editor, amazing editor. When y'all read the Special Blessings Prayer, those of you who've read it before, if you've got a good eye and you see what Linda did with it, amazing. She really took it to a whole nother level. Excellent. Very gifted. Very gifted. Dear Father, I just ask you to establish the work of her hands for her. Yes, establish the work of her hands. Lord, she has taken so many steps to get into alignment with you and praying the Special Blessings Prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless her financially, that she steps into this calling and this gifting that you've given her. That you would begin to open doors of opportunity for her. And others in the class, I know Samantha has done this artwork. I don't know what's going to happen with that. And just others. God, that they would begin to step up and use their gifts and step into their calling. Take a step, take a step, take a step, take a step. This is for so many of you, out of the shadows and into your calling. Out of that place of fear, into the place of destiny. Now we have another one. She says, I've been a nurse for many years. I sense God is transitioning me into a different full-time ministry. But where or when or how or what? I don't know. This I do know. I trust him. I'm requesting prayer for clarification and that I would hear his voice clearly in this matter. Father, I thank you for one who desires to use her training to create tools. That is so God, because I have no idea where that just came from. I had no idea that was going to come out of my mouth. God, I want you to use your training to create tools that others can use to do some of the things that you've been able to do. And I just can't help thinking that it might be for people in third world countries, even remote areas, that there are some tools and strategies that you've developed because of your training and your years as a nurse. God wants you to turn your training into tools. That's all I've got. I don't want to guess beyond that, but that I feel very sure of. And I want to pray for others. Maybe you have a college degree. Maybe you have years of experience. And you've learned some things. I was listening to this podcast this morning. In a court of law, an expert is the person in the room who knows more than everybody else. And a lot of you have a lot more expertise than you know. You might even be an expert on how to self-sabotage. And when you stop doing it, you're an expert on it. If you've been in this renewal once before, you are an expert to people who have no clue where the Facebook group is. And I really would love to see a lot of you begin to step up and take the training that you've had in any area of your life and say, God, how can I turn this into a tool to help others, to equip others? I saw somebody make an infographic in the group, and I was like, you go, girl. You go, girl. And I thought that there was one more I wanted to pray for. I definitely want to pray for this one. And then I'm going to star six. That will be right at the top of the hour. I seem to be stuck physically, unable to exercise because of pain, and spiritually I'm lonely. I feel stifled and torn between reality, fear, stepping out of the boat. I'm wanting to help people spiritually by praying for them and healing the sick. But I can't see how that can happen. What's holding me back? I'm discouraged. And daughter, you are a Jeremiah for this generation. You are a Jeremiah for this generation. You are a Jeremiah for this generation. do not expect to be understood. Wasn't Jeremiah the weeping prophet? Don't expect people to understand. Go read all the crazy things Jeremiah did. Don't expect to be understood. Don't expect to have an ordinary life because you have an extraordinary gift. You have an extraordinary gift, and it is a lonely gift. I don't say that to discourage you. I just say it is. It is. You are a Jeremiah for your generation. Know this, know this, know this, know this, that what you have accomplished through the releasing of my word has yielded such a harvest, you cannot fathom the harvest that has been credited to your account. And when you stand before the King in glory, you will stand astonished. You are a Jeremiah for this generation. Continue, whether they listen or fail to listen, whether they listen to or fail to listen, you be faithful and continue to proclaim my words. And I have provided, daughter, I have provided a place where you belong, a place where you are honored and celebrated. Do not look for it where it is, where people are incapable. But I have provided a place for you. So, Father, I just pray for every person who feels alone, lonely, misunderstood, looking for their place. Where do they fit in, God, that you would show them? You have appointed a place. You have appointed a place for each of your daughters. Lord, I pray for genuine fellowship and support in this renewal community. It's not about Donna, you know, it's not the Donna show. This is not the Donna show. This is Women's Empowerment University. And I'm very happy. I'm seeing ladies step up. And I want to see it more and more. We love you. We love you. That's why we do all this crazy stuff. We love you. That's why we do it. We're at the top of the hour. I will star six. Star six has not been very popular. But
Q&A session started.
I don't know why, but that's okay. Star six, if anybody has questions, comments... star six, questions, comments. We're happy to field them. Any reaction to what you heard tonight? This resonate with you? There we go. We've got a taker. 817, you're live on the line.
Hey, Donna, it's Karen.
Welcome to the
challenge for this week.
Welcome to the call. Oh, I forgot to give the challenge. Thank you, Karen. The challenge is to be in bed by 10 o'clock. That's going to be tough for me tonight. So we've built our evening routine. 7 o'clock, stop eating. 9 o'clock, turn off all the electronics, which we all need to do in about 5 minutes. And 10 o'clock, get your precious little self in bed. No TV, no electronics, just you in bed. Why? So that you can get up the next morning by what, 6 o'clock? Wake up the next day, get into your prayer chair, wake up before the rest of the family. If you got your lemon water, you're in your prayer chair, you're having your devotional time, take a walk and get your morning. We'll start building the morning routine starting next week. So thank you for that reminder. Anybody else? Star six? Questions? Comments? Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. Anybody? Okay. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap the recording there. And oh, wait, we got somebody. 312, you are live on the line.
Hi, Donna, this is Angie. I just want to thank you so much for the word that you've given today. It has really spoke to me. So many pieces of it, from the employment piece to from beginning to end, from 7 to 8 o'clock, the whole thing just spoke to me. And I know that I'm in right now just God is moving me in different directions, and I'm so excited about where he has me to go. And I just want to thank you for all that you have, just your spirit to empower each and every one of us, and just this sisterhood.
I'm excited for you. I'm really excited for you. He really wanted to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, he did.
He really, really wanted to talk to you tonight, and I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited because I see you smiling from ear to ear. I see you radiant and beautiful and filled with joy in the epicenter of God's will for your life. And I can't wait until you like introduce me and say, she had a tiny part in this.
Yeah. You got it.
Is that a deal? Is that fair?
Awesome. Yes.
All right, we're doing it. Love you. Wave that hanky, honey. It's already done.
Yes, thank you.
I want a picture of you waving a hanky. Can you put that up on the Facebook group?
I will do that.
She's doing
the
it.
Night is up. You got it.
Okay. It looks like we've got one more.
Hi, Donna. Dolores.
Yes, darling. How are you?
Good, thanks. I just think about the self-sabotage, and like you're saying, it's like a lifelong thing. And so I'm wondering how you would go about changing that, unless it's just the exchange in your mind, your thoughts, renewing your mind. It's just this fight going on inside.
Yeah, I hope that the 7 ideas that I gave tonight, and I'll recap those in the little handout, and maybe kind of seeing them will be more helpful. But let's all press into these 7 ideas and see if they empower those of you who are struggling with self-sabotage. Let's all pull together and try some of these ideas and see if they work, and if other people find other solutions that they're finding effective and helpful, let's do this week. Let's come onto the Facebook group and say, hey, look, these strategies are helping me. This is what I found that helps me overcome self-sabotage, because this is a huge common theme that we see every semester here in the lives of so many women. So I put out some ideas tonight. Let's put them to the test and see if they work.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. We love you and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. That looks like it for tonight. Thank you, ladies, for pressing *6. I appreciate that. And we will see you on the Facebook group. I won't be able to turn off my electronics at 9 o'clock because I got to get the replay ready for you guys. But I love you and we'll see you on the Facebook group. God bless.